Why does Brahms' Vegan Lied remain one of the most universally recognized melodies nearly 2 centuries after its composition? This seemingly simple German lullaby from 1868 has been recorded in countless languages, appears in Hollywood films, and is beloved by everyone from Beyoncé to Bill Gates. This cultural phenomenon exemplifies the central question Derek Thompson explores in Hitmakers. What makes certain cultural products capture global attention while others fade into obscurity? The answer isn't simply quality or genius, but rather a complex interplay of psychological principles, social dynamics, and strategic distribution that transforms ordinary creations into extraordinary hits. Why do Monet's paintings draw crowds while equally talented Gustave Caillebotte remains obscure? The answer isn't mysterious greatness, but simple exposure. Caillebotte produced only about 400 paintings, while Monet 2,500 and Renoir 4,000. This exposure difference fundamentally shapes our perception of artistic value. Our brains prefer familiarity, what psychologists call the mere exposure effect. We consistently favor things we've encountered before. This preference appears universal and likely evolutionary. If you recognize something, it hasn't killed you yet. This explains Adele's chart dominance and why Trump's 2016 campaign succeeded despite less advertising. He received $3 billion in free media exposure. Yet paradoxically, we also crave novelty. We want what Raymond Loewy called free play, a dialogue between I get it and I want to know more. Cultural hits occupy this sweet spot, familiar enough to process easily, but novel enough to spark interest. The most compelling products surprise us in ways we didn't know we wanted. Raymond Loewy arrived in America as a French orphan with $40 in 1919. Seeing Manhattan's crude technological designs, he eventually reshaped everything from cigarette packs to NASA's orbital workshop through his Maya principle, most advanced yet acceptable. The consumer is influenced by two opposing factors, attraction to the new and resistance to the unfamiliar, Loewy wrote. His genius was recognizing successful products must balance innovation with comfort, creating aesthetic aha moments that feel both fresh and recognizable. ESPN dominated cable by combining familiar sports with new storytelling techniques. Spotify found including just one familiar song in discovery playlists significantly improved engagement. Loewy's principle reveals three insights. Audiences collectively understand their preferences better than any individual creator. To sell something familiar, make it surprising. To sell something surprising, make it familiar. People often don't know what they want until they already love it. They need guidance toward innovation rather than direct questioning about preferences. This balance between comfort and novelty remains the foundation for creating cultural phenomena. Sound transforms into music through repetition. The catchiest hooks often function as questions and answers, bye-bye, falling, and Miss American Pie, rising, creating tension between repetition, memory, and anticipation, resolution. As musicologist Elizabeth Margulis notes, people like new and surprising melodies, but when we feel like we can accurately make tiny predictions about how a song is going to go, it feels really good. This principle applies to political rhetoric, too. Obama's Yes, We Can speech demonstrates how repetition makes ordinary language memorable. Political speeches employ various repetition devices, from anaphora, repeated beginnings, to antimetabole, like Kennedy's, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Political language has simplified over time, from college level in the 1850s to sixth grade level since the 1940s. This reflects democracy's expansion as voting rights broadened and mass media reached wider audiences. The danger lies in the rhyme as reason effect, where rhyming statements seem more accurate. Yet repetition doesn't create musical illusions. It simply reveals melodies already hidden in our language, waiting to be discovered and remembered. Beneath our skin lies the erector pili muscle attached to each hair follicle. Though humans have lost most body hair, these muscles remain, creating chip-in skin, duck skin, or goosebumps, depending on your language. These physical reactions to powerful music and memories reveal art's fundamental purpose, emotional communication. Walking through a college campus years after graduation, songs from those times create a time capsule effect. The music contains memories of first crushes and late-night debates, along with their outcomes, failed romances, and lasting friendships. This sensory experience triggers that ancient response, goosebumps spreading across the skin. For Tolstoy, art communicates feelings in emotional language. Great books create experiences where readers both perform and observe. We revisit the same books, songs, and movies not just to remember the art, but to remember ourselves. Our favorite cultural experiences balance familiarity and novelty, rewarding comprehension after difficulty, and making our skin prickle with recognition and discovery. George Lucas wrote Star Wars at a desk made of three doors, writing 5 pages during 8-hour daily sessions. After being denied Flash Gordon rights, Lucas created his own space fantasy by blending Joseph Campbell's monomyth with World War II aerial combat films. The result broke box office records by feeling both unique and familiar. This pattern appears across successful stories. Sociologist Vincent Bruzaise's audience data confirmed Campbell's hero's journey formula works scientifically. Audiences respond to stories with inspiration, relatability, and suspense. This structure appears in everything from Harry Potter to The Matrix to religious narratives. Lucas was primarily an assembler. Star Wars drew from Flash Gordon and Kurosawa's The Hidden Fortress, neither original themselves. Studies show readers actually prefer spoiled stories, suggesting great narratives transcend plots to become universes of feeling. Like roller coasters, compelling stories balance perceived danger with safety. The most successful cultural products rarely emerge from pure originality, but from skillful recombination, taking existing elements and assembling them in ways that feel both familiar and fresh. This is creativity's essence, innovation through transformation rather than invention from nothing. We're experiencing an industrial revolution in attention. While 1870-1970 transformed physical life through refrigeration, electricity, and automobiles, the past 40 years have revolutionized entertainment, communications, and information. The future features both global empires and independent creators. Disney exemplifies the entertainment empire, not just an animation studio, but a global power distributed across Star Wars, Marvel, ESPN, and popular theme parks. Meanwhile, creators like Ryan Leslie demonstrate the city-state model. After early success producing hits and later facing bankruptcy, Leslie built Superphone, an app for direct fan contact. With 16,000 paying customers, averaging $100 yearly, he generated nearly $600,000 without a label, manager, or marketing team. Leslie discovered that success isn't magical but quantifiable, often determined by one's network. "Your network is your power," he explains, echoing chaos theorist Duncan Watts's findings about how hits spread through social connections. Today's difference is scale. Small players can amass meaningful audiences, while companies like Disney achieve global reach. In this new landscape, successful creators understand a fundamental paradox. We want to feel unique yet belong, experience familiarity yet novelty. The cultural products that thrive will navigate this tension, offering both the comfort of recognition and the thrill of discovery.